Let us all say amen. Amen. In the midst of everything that goes on, I don't know about you, sometimes you can't help me. That's the time that I turn to Jehovah, the maker of heaven and earth, the one that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Once again, it is good to see you this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. Want to just encourage you in your Christian walk to remain steadfast and unmovable. We're going to be embarking upon this text in Galatians chapter 6 for the next 6-7 months. There's a lot in it. And the whole purpose is to bring us to a higher level of understanding who we are and how the world should never, ever dictate to us who we are and the direction we ought to be heading. And so Paul writes these words to the church at Galatia to encourage their hearts and to remind them that in the midst of everything that goes on, you ought to have some confidence, some assurance about who you are because of who you serve. And so therefore, as children of God, church, somewhere down the line, the world don't dictate to us. Amen. Somewhere down the line, we learn how to be happy and joyous because we understand what transpired on Calvary's mountain. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Paul said God demonstrated how much he loved mankind. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died. And I guess that's what motivates me to know no matter what transpires in my life, if I mess up and fess up, God restores me to where I belong in the body of Christ. And so this morning, as we look at this lesson in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, I want to draw your attention to this phrase right here. We shall reap. And I want to talk about what you're going to reap. I don't know about you. I look forward to the day to when I go home. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I ain't in no rush. But I'm looking forward to it because I know as sure as I live, I'm going to leave here. And so, therefore, if I know I'm going to leave here, it's just like planning a vacation. How many of you plan a vacation? You take the time and you make sure every duck is in order, right? How many of you plan to go to heaven? And if you're planning to go to heaven, you better make sure everything you do points you toward that way. And so Paul in this lesson text reminds the believer and want to encourage the believer that in the midst of everything that goes on, you stay on track. You don't allow the world to dictate to us. Last week, we talked about the very thing of how not to grow weary. And we talked about how not to grow weary. Don't let the world in. I'm learning that if you're going to stay on track in your Christian walk, you have to let the world be what the world is, and you have to stay on track. Not only must you allow the world to dictate to you, guess what? Don't let it affect your Christian walk. Don't the world dictate to us? Oh, yeah, y'all looking at me funny. Tomorrow morning, some of y'all got to go to work, right? And the world gonna dictate to you. Be there on time or you losing some money. And so what you going to do? You're going to be there on time, right? Because you don't want to lose no money. And so in order for us not to grow weary, the world cannot dictate my Christian walk. Neither can it affect my attitude. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But Bible said, but he made himself of no reputation. I don't know about you. I'm learning not to let the world affect my attitude. When the first day of the week rolled around, I'm always on time. Amen. I don't know about you. Can't speak for you. I got down here this morning at 8 o'clock waiting on your smiling face. Why? Because, church, my attitude is that when the first day of the week rolled around, if anybody ought to be thankful, if anybody ought to just praise God, it ought to be us. Amen. Why? He's kept us all week long. We're here clothed in whatever mind you're in, but you're here. But you're here. And we ought to thank God. We ought to praise him. So it should never affect my attitude. And I'm learning that when the world does not dictate to me, It will not affect my Christian walk. It won't affect my attitude. And guess what? I can resist that old boy. He ain't have no say-so over me. Why? Because when you walk in the light as he is in the light, Satan has a tendency to leave you alone until he catches you outside of the light. And when you learn to resist the devil, guess what? You won't yield to temptation. So this morning, as we look at the next part of this series of lessons that I put together, I want to encourage us and remind us. In this text, Paul says, we shall reap if we faint not. Paul reminds the believer, you stay focused. You stay on track. Keep your mind focused on Christ. How do I do that? Requires a constant diet of the Word of God. Every day you get up, you ought to read something other than the verse of the day. Amen. Because we read the verse of the day, and before we get out through the day, we don't even know what the verse of the day said. What was the verse of the day for the day? Y'all didn't read it? Paul in this text here reminds the believer that when we keep our minds focused on things above, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affections where? On things above and not on things of the earth. And church, and I'm learning, in order for us to keep our mind focused, we got to focus our mind more on the gospel than on the mess of this world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul said, only let your conversation be of the gospel. So Paul says, whether I come and see or are absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand firm in one accord. I want to encourage us, stay focused in the gospel. Remember, as you go to work tomorrow, you have a mission that's more powerful than the work you're going to do tomorrow. Amen. You have a mission. Your mission, Luke 19, verse number 10, is to seek and save the lost. Your mission, James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, is to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Your mission is to understand that you're an ambassador for Christ. And so when I go to work, people at work ought to know that there's something different about me. You know, not weird, but different. What makes the difference is that they see Jesus Christ in me. Not only should we stay focused on our mission, but church, we got to learn how to stay steadfast in our Christian walk. See, in order to reap what God has for us, we must learn to be patient in our Christian walk. And these are areas that I've looked at, and I'm looking at me. But if I'm down your street, how you doing? I want to show you that in order for you to reap the harvest that God has in store for each and every one of us, there are some things that you are going to have to do. Go to James chapter 5. I want to show you an attitude that we must have as believers. James chapter 5 and round about verse number 7, the Bible says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and have long patience for it until he received early and the latter rain. Here, James describes the Palestine farmer. And as he describes this farmer, the farmer has two things in mind. He's looking for the early rain, and then he's looking for the latter rain. He knows that in the midst of waiting on these waters to come, there are some things he has to do. He has to check out the weeds. Don't miss that. How many of y'all got some weeds in your life? You need to pick them out. Not only do he worry about the weeds, he has to fertilize them so when the rain comes, they're able to grow. How many of y'all need some fertilizer this morning? And see, and the best fertilizer you can get is the Word of God. And so the farmer here understands that in order for me to reap the harvest, there are some things I have to do. I have to take the time and nurture and encourage the plants that I'm working on. That's the same concept that you and I need to have, is that we must learn how to nurture one another if we're going to reap a harvest. So in this text here, the Apostle Paul would remind the church at Galatia, stay on track, don't allow Satan to pull you from your steadfastness. And if we are going to reap the harvest of eternal salvation, some things I think that you must learn. First and foremost, you got to learn how to give up you. Amen. I'm learning that if you're going to make heaven your home, you got to get out the way. Amen. You ever had a problem with someone? Did you ever think it was you? Nah, it's always somebody else, ain't it? No, I'm learning you got to get out the way. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 27, Jesus reminds us that we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Not only must we learn to get out of the way and follow Jesus Christ, but we must learn how to deny the concepts the world has to offer. We must learn how to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Then, in order for you to really reap eternal salvation, it requires a constant word, a constant diet of the word. 2 Timothy 2:15, Psalms of Vision 1, verses 1 through 6. And then, as you grow in your Christian walk, you got to add to your faith every single day. Every day that goes along, you ought to be better than what you were yesterday. Amen. I'll amen that myself. And the only way you get to that point is you got to stay in this book. That's why psalmists would say, Psalms of Vision 1, verses 1 through 6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the psalmist said, he meditates. How? Day and night. And the psalmist says, when you meditate day and night, you'll be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its seasons. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. Church, not only must we have a regular diet of the word of God, we must remember, as servants of the Most High God, we are the world's last chance of salvation. But sometimes I wonder if we believe that. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following. Remember Jesus says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? See, I'm a firm believer that in order for me to reap eternal salvation, I must first and foremost examine me to make sure I'm in the right frame of mind and that I'm doing what the will of God says. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, Paul says, examine yourself, whether or not you be in the faith. And so real quickly, I want to conclude with how to reap. I've been having fun with this thing here because, you know, it gives me an opportunity to really look at what I preach. See, I don't know about you. I just don't take my word for it. And I'm the preacher. I want to make sure that as I speak as the oracles of God. So in order for us to reap, you got to reverence God daily, not just when you feel like it, but every single day of our life. We have to learn how to reverence God. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 12, the Bible says, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Hebrews chapter 12 and look at round about verse number 28. The Bible says, wherefore we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Now understand what the Hebrew writer is saying here. He's talking about the church. We're in a kingdom that cannot be moved. Because of who we are and what we have obeyed from the heart, Satan has no say-so over us. Amen. Unless we fall into sin. And as long as we're not in sin, guess what? The devil leaves us alone until we fall into sin. And so the Hebrew writer says, since we have a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. See, I'm learning in order for me to really serve God, I got to reverence him every single day of my life. And can you do that? Yes, you can. When we wake up in the morning, we ought to praise his name. When tragedy happens, we ought to praise his name. Oh, you see, it's a different mindset. Not only must we learn how to reverence God, we got to learn how to edify one another. Amen. I'm learning how to edify my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And you know, and I'm learning to sometimes edification means I have to rebuke you. Amen. Amen. I'm learning that your job and my job is to edify and to build one another up. Galatians chapter 6, and look at the first couple verses there. Paul says, moreover, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also you be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, we must learn to edify and build one another up. Psalms division 133 and verse number 1, the psalmist says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the next part of learning how to reap is appreciate being part of the body of Christ. I don't know about you. I'm glad he saved me. Amen. And I'm glad to be part of the body of Christ. And so therefore, it brings about a whole new mindset, a whole new attitude in my Christian walk. Not only am I concerned about my household, but I'm concerned about everyone I come in contact with. Why? Because I learned to appreciate the body of Christ. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and round about verse number 20. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. And I don't know about you, I have never been an ambassador until I got into Christ. And I understand my responsibility is to bring glory and honor to God and to show the world that in the midst of everything that goes on, God still is in control of everything. And so Paul says in verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21 is an interesting verse because to me it shows me that God is willing to sacrifice the very best for me. You don't have to, but I serve a God that did just that for me. Look at what he says in verse number 21. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. And if that don't excite you, you need to check your pulse because you might not be with us. Not only must we learn to appreciate being part of the body of Christ, we must understand as being part of the body of Christ, we have a mission. We have a goal. We have a responsibility. If any man be in Christ, Paul said, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And God has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Our job is to reconcile this old sinful world back to our Father. And how are we going to do it? The same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time, one soul at a time to reconcile those back to Christ. And finally, in order to reap a harvest, in order to reap what God has in store for us, practice what you preach. You expect me, right? You expect me to practice what I preach, right? Yeah, Kathy, you're the only one saying amen. I don't hear nobody else. But you expect me practice what I preach. And guess what? I expect the same out of you. Why? Because we are members one of another. In order for us to practice what we preach, we must learn how to control certain things in our everyday life. Colossians chapter 3, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. Season with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. How do you get to this point? Church, I'm learning that it requires you to surrender your will. And in conclusion, in the final analysis, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death comes the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, Paul says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that is done in the body. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul says we persuade men. So in the final analysis, what will you reap? Will you reap the harvest of well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will it be depart? I don't know you. I hope and pray, church, as we look at these series of lessons that it'll help you in your Christian walk. I don't know about you. I want to reap eternal salvation. So I know what it takes to reap eternal salvation. That means I have to learn to do what God says and don't get caught up in the cares of this world. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, members of the body of Christ, I hope I've said something to encourage your heart. Want to remind you, if you're not on the right track, repent, get on the right track. It's just that simple. Do what God requires of you, so when you stand before his judgment seat, you can reap the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart. Not part of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you. You've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You've heard the word. The question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and verse number 30, many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples, not written in the book, but these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you read to repent of your sins, confess his name, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and he adds you to the church, which is his body. And I'm learning that when you're in the body of Christ, we need to learn to appreciate what transpired on Calvary. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.